The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
And welcome in, one and all. It is time for this week's edition of Everything You Need to Know. And I'm sure that by this time, everybody, well, I'm not going to say everybody, because I think there's an awful lot of people that don't pay any attention to anything going on outside the realm of their own little vacuum universe. But on Sunday afternoon in Palm Beach, Florida, we had the second attempt of a would-be assassin trying to position himself to take a shot at the leading candidate for president right now, the Republican nominee, the former president, Donald J. Trump, playing his own golf course. And I have not played it. It's very exclusive, but it is the Trump International. It used to be the old Palm Beach golf club, very exclusive, right smack dab in the middle of Palm Beach, of West Palm Beach, near Congress, which is the main drag through there. Anyway, there's about three holes on that golf course, the fifth, sixth, and seventh, that borders the street. Just on the other side of the fence line, there are thick shrubberies there. But if you kind of work your way up it through those trees, like this gentleman, Ryan, and I should not have called him a gentleman, Ryan Roof, this wacko did on Sunday, and he did it starting at 2 a.m. about 1:59. His phone pinged that's where he was. So he was physically located there for the next 13 hours. Until Donald Trump came through to play the fifth hole and head for the sixth tee box. Trump had just hit a shot on the green and was walking up toward the green when supposedly one of the Secret Service detail saw an odd object sticking through the fence that looked like a gun barrel. They shot a few warning shots up high into the trees, and the guy fled the scene, jumped in his car, tried to get away. This part of the story just kind of amazes me. A woman driving by recognized that he was running full speed, like he was trying to get away from something, jumped in his car, which was on the side of the road, and sped off. But it's amazing to me that this woman had had just the instinct to take a picture of the license plate as the car sped away, and transmitted that to authorities. And that led to the arrest of Ryan Roof, who is just kind of a journeyman laborer with addresses in Virginia and Florida. He had a stolen tag on his car. This guy is a three-time convicted felon. He is a guy that was convicted in 2002 of possessing a weapon of mass destruction. They have not described what exactly that was, but that's a pretty serious charge. In 2010, he was arrested for possession of a legitimate, fully operational machine gun, which is illegal to have in the state of Virginia. I think pretty much illegal to have anywhere in the United States. And a couple of years later, he got into some kind of domestic dispute and was holed up in a upstairs window as the police for 3 hours negotiated him to come out. So this guy has been all over. He's got a rap sheet as long as your left arm, but he's still walking around on the streets. Earlier this year, this character, enamored by the whole you got to pardon me, I'm a little scatterbrained today, the whole Ukrainian Soviet war, he actually And this guy's just maybe has $300 or $400 in his account. You don't even know where how he's doing this. But he flies to Ukraine where he's trying to recruit mercenary soldiers to join the effort of the Ukrainians to fight the evil Russians and Vladimir Putin. Now, in the meantime, he's written all kinds of crazy crap on his social media about Donald Trump and how he has ruined everything for Ukraine by being in support of Putin. And if he's elected, he's going to end that war and all those Ukrainians would have died in vain trying to protect their country. He's going to give away a lot of their territory. I mean, just absolutely freaking out about that whole situation. And he also was very critical of the fact that in the first administration, Trump tore up the climate deal in Paris, tore up the nuclear agreement with Iran, which was an absolute joke, negotiated by John Kerry, maybe the stupidest, most pompous jackasses that's ever served in the United States government. At the time, he was Obama's Secretary of State. Anyway, this guy had a real bad red ass toward Donald Trump and was urging foreign operatives like the Iranians or the Afghans to put out hit squads and take this guy out. He said, for the good of the world, the planet's future and global peace, Donald Trump cannot be allowed to serve in office. Well, I guess that rallying cry, he didn't raise very many mercenaries, but this guy was still persistent enough to get meetings with top ranking Ukrainian officials while he was over there, financed by who? Nobody knows. This guy is a real interesting cat, but comes back and apparently figured out that at Trump International, you have that series of holes just on the other side of the fence line. You've got to work your way through shrubbery, but there's a well-known kind of crease in the fence there. So he was set up in a great spot where he could have been theoretically about 100 yards from the former president when he walked up onto the fifth green. Well, supposedly that Secret Service agent saw the barrel of that weapon and quickly swung into action. The couple of guys accompanying Trump basically brought him to the ground and covered him while the warning fire was shot, and then whisked Trump away in a golf cart. Trumpist this morning complained that he's played his course 100 times and he had never gotten off to a better start. He already had a birdie on his card. He was facing a real makeable birdie putt on the fifth hole and said, you know, that my round got scrubbed. And so I'm not very happy about that, but it's just kind of some dark humor from him, because this is getting to be epidemic. And earlier this year, my radio partner, Terry Quillian, and I appeared on a national podcast show on the Salem Broadcast Network. And we talked about the desperation of the other side. They can't let Trump win. If Trump wins, all of the infrastructure that they've been building for a number of years is going to be thoroughly damaged. It's going to really cause a lot of years, really, of investment and building this infrastructure of transition and change. And remember when Barack Obama was elected, his rallying cry was America, we're going to transition America. The transition basically means that the Democrat Party and this extreme left-wing kind of mentality of massive central government and the government being in charge of everything from industry to religion to education to energy to healthcare, every kind of appliance you can and can't use, every kind of vehicle you can and can't drive. These people fancy themselves as the elitist geniuses that should be making decisions that Americans make for themselves. And they don't believe in this whole concept, this whole audacious experiment that's America. They want to make America what Ronald Reagan warned against back in the 1980s when he said, America is a country with a government. It must never be the other way around, which of course means a government with a country. That's not what we're founded on. That's what our ancestors fled from the various places that they came to create this bold experiment called America. It's representative republic, and it is a government by the people, for the people, of the people that Lincoln said cannot perish from this earth. But anyway, that's kind of what we're up against here, because one of the last things the great Rush Limbaugh said as his broadcast career and life, sadly, was in its final days, he said, just heed these words. The Democrats talk about threat to democracy. It's all part of their reverse reality. They warn against things that they are perpetrating. The whole decline of democracy, you need not look any further than how Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was handled this year when he wanted to run for the Democrat nomination for president, and they would not allow him to run against Joe Biden. So he had to declare himself an independent candidate. They gave no one an opportunity to run against Joe Biden for the nomination. And they talk about him getting 14 million votes in the primaries. Well, that wasn't too difficult because he was the only one running. Yeah, there were a couple of token guys in some states that have managed to get on the ballot, but come on, they weren't serious contenders. They were running a guy in total mental decline who had no business being president to start with. That was a great scam they pulled over the eyes of unsuspecting Americans. They kept him in the basement. They kept him on the beach at Delaware. They limited his public appearances. They only trotted him out when they had to have the front man, while the real people pulling the strings behind the scenes conducted their business. And ask yourself now, since they executed a coup to get the sitting president out of office. They told him, you're not running for re-election. We're replacing you. Nancy Pelosi told him, we can either do this the hard way or the easy way. If you will just go ahead and step down and pass the mantle to Kamala Harris, then we will let you go honorably. We don't know how much financial incentive or what other pot sweeteners were involved in that deal. But Joe Biden, don't kid yourself. Joe Biden did not step down for the good of America. Joe Biden stepped down because they told him, you're out, Kamala's in. The internal polling we have says you're declining faster than a sinking boulder. We cannot win with you as the candidate. All of our analysis, all of our polling, all of our sophisticated systems say you can't possibly win. We have to change horses here in the middle of the stream. It was almost like having a boxer undergoing an 8 count and about to go down, and they called timeout and put a different fighter in the ring for the guy that had no chance of winning. So don't believe for a second that Joe Biden stepped down willingly. Nancy Pelosi threatened him with getting the cabinet together, led by Kamala Harris, and executing the 25th Amendment, which is, if the cabinet votes unanimously to oust the president, then that's what takes place. And believe me, the way the Democrat Party runs that ship, it is when a decision is made at the highest levels, everybody steps in the line, because you don't see many independent Democrats. They vote pretty much as a block on everything, despite the fact that philosophically and ideologically, they are on completely different planets. You've got the wacko far leftists who just want to turn the government upside down here, make it just this giant payola of government spending. Who cares if the deficit is trillions of dollars? We're going to pass out money and predominantly pass out money to our friends and friendly corporations and associates. They talk about the Republicans giving tax breaks to billionaires. Ask yourself who the main financiers of the Democrat Party are right now. It's guys like the Rockefeller Foundation, ultra left liberals, George Soros, probably the most severe left Marxist oriented person on earth, and his son now who's running the operations. It's J.V. Pritzker, who's the governor of Illinois, extreme left, the heir to the Hyatt Hotel fortune, a guy of just ridiculously high means. Zuckerberg and Gates and all of the major technology guys, all of these massive multi-million, multi-billion corporations, all the pharmaceuticals, to suggest the Republicans are the party of the rich is laughable now, because the Republican Party has transformed into a populist movement of just regular folks, of hardworking, a lot of union people, a lot of folks in manufacturing. Really, if you look at a Trump rally, you don't see Brooks Brothers suits. You see a lot of folks in jeans and work shirts. And that's really the transition that's been made here. So a lot of what they say is they're projecting their own policy on the other side, just to completely keep everybody off balance as to what their real intentions are. I didn't want to really talk about the situation, but I needed to set it up, because when I started off talking about this assassination attempt, one of the things that's really interesting, and again, Trump has been lucky that some Secret Service operatives have been up to the task in these last two situations, but a lot of the problem is that there is not adequate security details with Donald Trump as he travels to rallies or goes out for a round of golf or simply, goes out to shake some hands of voters, because the decisions that are being made by the Secret Service now, although this is the statistically leading candidate for president, the former president, but he is really not getting much more of a protection detail, which is authorized by the president himself. But we really don't have a president now. After Joe Biden's been kicked out of office, he spent just a handful of days at the White House in the last month. He's been on vacation of like four out of the last 6 weeks. One stretch, 3 weeks, a week on the beach in the Pacific, and then back to his Delaware beach house that he paid $3 million cash for a few years ago on a government worker's salary. Bottom line is, the president right now, the position of president, is absentee. Biden is not doing anything official in office. The world's on the brink of war, but they kicked him out. And I'm sure part of the deal was, look, I'm just going to go to the house here and do my thing. And if you guys don't want me, that's fine. So there's just a vacuum. And Trump's detail has, even after the Butler near miss, where he was struck in the ear, missing by just a milliliter of a fatal shot to the side of his head, the detail has not really been increased much. You really need to have, on these kind of assignments, and I've even heard people say, well, you know, if he's in this much danger, maybe he shouldn't be out there playing golf. If that's how you live your life, where you're so risk averse that you toddle in your cocoon in safety, that's just not who this guy is. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, he should be able to go out and get some recreation and play golf on a lovely Sunday afternoon, but he's also the most threatened person on the earth. You've got Secret Service details with Barack Obama and George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter still alive at 99 years old, although he's been in hospice care for almost a year now. I don't think the former president detail for Jimmy Carter And former President George W. Bush or even Bill Clinton, you know, that doesn't need to commensurate with Trump's. Trump is an active candidate. He is probably the most targeted man on earth. And these people will literally do anything to stop his campaign, his candidacy. And I don't think any, were you surprised when you heard there was another assassination attempt? I wasn't. I was expecting it. I thought it was inevitable. And I think it'll happen some more because they're at the point now where they can't let this happen. And I'll tell you why. Because this government is being built in the image of what the creators, led by Barack Obama back when he won the presidency initially in 2008, Obama came in like a house of fire. And the thing he did very subtly, while kind of acting like a reasonable centrist president, but what Obama's genius in his 8 years in office was completely transforming almost every government department and bureau and agency, and putting not the most qualified person of merit or experience or intellect in these positions, these major positions like federal judgeships, U.S. attorneys, personnel in the FBI, the CIA, all of these important agencies, even down to things like the Department of Transportation and other areas. They are all, if you look, headed by people that are politically motivated, that are very ideological, that are hard left sort of individuals. And it's not just their presence in these jobs, because they can be replaced if you ever lose an election. But the problem is, once somebody like that gets into these positions, they start to staff from the top down a complete and total lineup of people that are ideologically inclined along with them. So now you've got all these agencies with all these government operatives that right now the laws don't allow you to get rid of, that that really kind of stock that whole branch of government. So in essence, a lot of the people making policies and enforcing rules and regulations and rolling out all of these things that affect your life are not people that you've elected. These are people that have been named and given their opportunities by the people appointed to these major bureaus and agencies. And once that becomes embedded, it's almost impossible to root out. But one of the reasons they can't allow Trump to win is because he's got a plan. He's found a legal avenue to kind of turn everything upside down in Washington. He talked about drain the swamp last time as a campaign slogan. This time, he's not actively saying it, but he is running on drain the swamp. He's running on starting to be able to have the opportunity to get rid of access personnel and full departments, abolishing full departments like the Department of Education, clears out all those people and all their government union protection that says they can't be fired goes away if their agency goes away. And not only that, but you've also got a big initiative. He's already said, and this is reason to vote for Trump alone, in my opinion, because no matter who's in power, you don't want a bunch of partisans in all these departments making decisions. I didn't vote for them. You didn't vote for them. But these are the people that are really running the day-to-day show. And Trump has already reached an agreement with Elon Musk, who I don't think anybody can dispute has to be one of the smartest men in the world. The guy started from modest means and has made billions upon billions of dollars with innovative and brilliant business ideas, gone a lot of different directions, is involved in so many things, bought Twitter for $45 billion a couple of years ago, which is at least created one platform that doesn't censor people's opinions. But Elon Musk has agreed to sit on a committee that will look at every aspect of the federal government. And this scares the bejesus out of everybody that's gravy training up there, living in gated communities, making $250,000, $300,000 to be some highfalutin agency major lieutenant who's making decisions on behalf of the American people that are not for the good of the American people, but for the good of this movement toward this massive central government. But Musk's committee will look at the efficiency, the expenditure, the justification, the staffing, the operations of every aspect of the federal government, and will make strong recommendations about what's necessary. And I don't think anybody, no matter how partisan you are, is anybody comfortable with the fact that the government is just bloated to the point of having, I don't even know what the current number is of federal employees, but it's absolutely astounding. All of this bragging by the Biden administration the last couple of years of how many jobs they were adding. Well, first of all, that's turned out to be BS, because it was just proven 2 weeks ago that almost 900,000 of the jobs they claimed that they created were never created at all. It was this was projections and different things based on models. They were not actual numbers. So that's an absolute fact, and you can look that up. But the highest percentage of jobs created by this administration, get ready for it. Guess what industry? Government. They were government jobs, hundreds of thousands of more government jobs. They have bureaucrats on top of bureaucrats, and all the bureaucrats have consultants, and all the bureaucrats have massive staffs. It is so totally out of control. If Elon Musk and his committee, bipartisan private citizens, gets in and does a real cavity search of the United States government, they are going to come back with so much waste and so much abuse and so much excess and so much corruption that it's going to just completely flush this whole movement toward the federal government running the show for all of us completely down the commode. If there's any reason to vote for Donald Trump, I don't care if you despise him. I don't care if he makes your skin crawl. He is an abrasive character. He is who he is. But this one single idea, to have somebody finally perform a full enema on the federal government and flush down whatever they find, is just a brilliant idea. And it's something that every American, I don't care what your politics are, if you want to continue to send your money to Washington so these people can live lavishly, be an elitist class, a ruling class, not people you voted for. And let me give you the prime example. We talk about the Secret Service, their staffing, their procedures. They've really slipped. The Secret Service was formed just after the Civil War in the 1860s. And their role at first was, there was massive, the printing operations had become so much more sophisticated that the Secret Service was initially formed to bust counterfeiting rings, which were plaguing the country when it tried to recover from the Civil War. That evolved through the end of the century. Lincoln, of course, assassinated in 1865. President James Garfield was shot and killed in 1881. And then William McKinley in 1902. That was three presidents in just 34 years assassinated, and the Secret Service was given the role of protecting key officials and the president. And they operated on kind of a secretive, their own agenda. They were part of the Treasury Department because that's how they were originally conceived. But believe me, they were their own agency with their own rules and procedures and training apparatus, and really recruited some of the top people in the country. And that's how it operated for many, many years. And you still had some problems. Of course, John F. Kennedy assassinated in 1963, but that initial run by the Secret Service, pretty effective. Theodore Roosevelt was actually shot during a speech, but thankfully he had a big vest on and something in his coat pocket that negated the bullet making much damage. But the bottom line is that really stepped up, and it was an agency unto itself. But that changed in 2002 when George W. Bush, after 9/11, created the Department of Homeland Security. And let me tell you what that agency is today. It is 22 federal agencies under the umbrella of the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security. And the man in charge of the DHS is the prime example of what I'm talking about. Alejandro Mayorkas, who is not an expert on any of the things that the DHS does, and some of the major ones, of course, border enforcement, the ICE agency that is in charge of finding and removing people that are in the country illegally. Of course, the other major one is the TSA when you fly. That's all part of DHS. A lot of different elements of the CIA and the FBI, different contemporary groups that work alongside. You can pull the list down on the internet. But the other one that was put under that umbrella was the U.S. Secret Service. And if you remember after 9/11, one of the huge complaints coming out of all the congressional investigations was that agencies in this country were not working together. It was even adversarial, where one agency would get some information and be leery of sharing it with another organization because they were worried that they wouldn't get the credit then when the certain nefarious rings and individuals and plots are foiled. So in theory, it was a good idea to put everybody under one central group of different organizations in our government. But after two decades, it's a terrible idea because what's happened? You've had all of these Democrat administrations, starting with Barack Obama, just handpicking these political operatives to run these agencies and these conglomerates of federal bureaus and departments. And it has eroded to the point where they're stocked with people that aren't qualified, that aren't there on their merit. They're there because of their politics. And now they're claiming that they don't have the proper resources to fully protect Trump, the most threatened man on earth and presidential candidate. Their budget is $8 billion a year just for the Secret Service. I don't know the number for DHS overall, but I'm sure it's north of $25, $30 billion. The president with a stroke of a pen can allocate more money, but it's not economics, folks. It's politics. That's what it is. We've got to protect Trump, but we don't have to protect him because he's not the current president. We don't have to give full resources. We don't have to have people to sweep areas, which is routine. If a president's out in the open and make sure that that everything's secure, there's only one really non-secure area of that golf course. And that's where the guy set up. And for nobody to notice him sitting there for 12 hours is abominable. It's ridiculous. And it comes back down again. They're saying, well, we don't have enough resources to commit to protect everybody we need to protect. You don't need a whole squad around Jimmy Carter lying in bed at a hospice. You don't need a whole squad about George W. Bush, who's not under threat. He's been out of office for 20 years. He's not a guy that I think anybody's targeting. Bill Clinton's controversial, but he's on the right side of the fence. So the bottom line is, Trump is the most threatened man on earth. This agency needs to protect him, but it is bogged down in giant bloated government BS. That's the first problem. And the second problem is they don't really want to protect him because they think, and they're right, he's an existential threat to everything they're trying to do. So food for thought. The Secret Service used to be its own entity and do its own thing, and now it's under the umbrella of government inefficiency and weak, awful leadership. The prime doubleheader, the daily double, if you will, of inefficiency and red tape and government inefficiency and lack of dysfunction and total dysfunction, I should say. And that's the recipe leading to all of this chaos that we're seeing and just kind of shrugging off every week. Don't be surprised if in the next couple of weeks, there'll be more of this kind of nonsense. Major candidate for president, whatever your politics are, this country doesn't work if those people are under constant threat and they're not being properly protected. Government bureaucracy doesn't work. Massive federal government doesn't work unless you're one of the people on the inside. And that is something that you need to be aware of here, and particularly you need to know. I'm Kip Kiefer. I appreciate everybody listening. I hope some nugget of information got out there that resonated with you today, that Secret Service needs to be its own entity. It doesn't need to be bogged down with 21 other agencies and run by perhaps the worst government official to ever be appointed to any post in the history of our country. We will talk to you next week at this same time. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what you needed to know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.